So the first part of today's reading is in the book of Genesis, verse 8, and we'll beginning at chapter 8, we'll beginning at verse 8. From the story of Noah. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could find no place to rest its feet, because there was water all over the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. The second part of the reading is in Psalm 139. We'll begin at verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for these, which for some people may be words of warning, for many of us are words of comfort, that you will be with us always. And be with us and with our pastors today as we hear your message and with our pastor as he addresses us. And may we all understand your word and apply it in our lives. Amen.
While David was praying, I just thought of one situation, at least in Montreal, that every one of us has heard. And that is this gentleman, this man, I believe his name was Jones, who had a good life for many years. He would convince people around him that he knew exactly how to invest money. He knew exactly where to invest it, and he then took all that money, a lot of money, and he spent it. And he spent it all, and then when he ran out of money and he ran out of time, he tried to hide. And he tried so hard to hide, and yet he eventually was found, and now he is in prison. Can we run away? Can we do something wrong and run away or hide? Yes, for a while we can. If not man, God will find us. The Garden of Eden was prepared by God for the human race to be a place of joy and fellowship with God. But now it had become a place of fear and a hiding place from God. Verse 8 says, that is, Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. God had given them a beautiful place. God had created something so beautiful that we cannot even imagine. It was where Iraq today is between the river Euphrates and Tigris. And these men were given a life that would continue. But God did not want robots, or he didn't want people without a will, because he wanted some company. And the Bible says God made man in his image. And yet, just to give them a challenge, he said, you can do anything you want, but don't touch that tree. Because the moment you eat from that fruit, and some people will argue, was it an apple tree, was it a tree, or was something else? At this point, I don't really I care what was it was, but I know for sure it was something that God said, don't do it, don't touch it. And guess what? If you tell a child, don't touch that, that's exactly what the child will touch. And you test the free will, and so these husband and wife, or man and woman, were tested, if you wish. God came to visit Adam and Eve in the garden, but they were nowhere to be found. They had gone into hiding. The first question in the Old Testament is, the first question, where are you? The first time a question was asked is, where are you? The first question in the New Testament is, where is he? And I would like to read that verse. That is found in Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. The first human sin led the very first human to hide from God. We have few firsts here. The first question was, where are you? In the Old Testament. The first question in the New Testament was, what is he? And the response, the first human sin that we see in the New Testament, the first human sin that led the human race or the human being to hide from God. Why did they hide? Well, usually fear makes people hide, either because they are running away from danger, or they are guilty of something they have done, and they are running away from the law or justice. Now, I thought about that for a while. I said, when have I ever done it? And I realized I had done it more times than I thought I did. Hiding from my parents, hiding from my teacher, hiding in the army where I served in the Air Force for something I had said, for something I had done, for something that I didn't want anyone to see. We do it all the time when we don't want someone else to see it because we'll be embarrassed or we shouldn't have been doing it, and we're doing it. So hiding is the result of something we don't want anyone else to see, or we don't want to meet someone. Adam and Eve were hiding because they had disobeyed God. They had sinned. Now I should stop here for a moment and say that the whole message this morning, this whole portion we read, will make no sense to someone who does not believe in God. So, it won't make any sense to someone who says he or she believes in God, and yet they don't believe in the Garden of Eden, they don't believe in Adam and Eve. There are those Christians these days that they will say, well, I believe in evolution and creation at the same time, and the timing is wrong, your theory is flawed, and you know what? I would rather believe what the Word of God says, the Bible, which has survived for thousands of years, than theories and philosophies that have changed with the time. So we have here Adam and Eve hiding from their Creator. Let us look at people who hide from God. Some hide from God when he comes searching for them. Where are you? You probably heard that question, where are you? Not by someone, but in your heart, your conscience, the Holy Spirit asking you, Joseph, Mary, Peter, where are you spiritually? Where are you as far as your relationship is concerned with your wife, with your children? Where are you? God is always seeking sinners, not because he does not know where they are, but rather to show them where they are and what separates them from God. Think about that. God is seeking sinners, or seeking you, or the Holy Spirit is seeking you, and not because he doesn't know where you are. He knows where you are. But he wants you to know that he knows where you are. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He said in Luke 18:10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." To be reminded and convicted of sin may be painful, but it is the evidence that God is seeking. Who wants to be reminded of a sin? Who wants someone else to point out and say what you're doing is wrong, as if this person doesn't know it? One of the things that happened with my wife is when I see her eating a cookie or something, I tell her, "Hon, you know you got it." I know. No one wants to be reminded that, you know, we should watch our diet or something. We know it's wrong, and yet we're tempted. So who wants to be discovered doing something wrong? No. God speaks through his word. The Bible shows he is seeking. He's seeking. What do you mean he's seeking? He knows where I am. I know, but his spirit is coming to you. Every time that you do something wrong as a Christian, every time you go astray, every time you think of something that would be against the will of God, you hear that voice inside you. Joseph, what are you doing? I know, but you know, and we justify ourselves. Here the Bible says that God speaks to us through his word. Sometimes he seeks through trials. Now, is God so bad, so cruel, that he will bring trials and difficulties? And someone may say temptations, but temptations do not come from God. Temptations come from the devil, and temptations come from our own desire to satisfy the flesh, the eyes, the mind, whatever. But trials, God will allow trials to come, so we can learn a lesson. Often, as most of you know, I'm also a businessman. During the day, while I'm working on electronic things, something goes wrong, and my wife runs to me and says, "Is everything okay?" That's because she heard a big sound of two sparks or something. And I said, no, everything is fine. And yet, every time that happens, I'm learning more and more. I've been a repairman for 50, 60 years or more, and yet I'm learning. So in our life, in our walk, in our spiritual walk, journey, there are things that happen. And every time something that may go wrong is an opportunity, a moment, a time when we can learn something and not repeat it and avoid it. So circumstances teach us lessons. Sometimes he seeks through preachers and teachers. And often I've heard people say, "Well, I went to the Billy Graham crusade, I went to the other crusade, or the teacher said something, and God spoke to my heart." I hope that everyone who says that, they mean it, that God spoke to their heart and not the preacher or an evangelist or a teacher, because God will use anyone. God used a donkey to make his point to someone else. And so we have here, God is desperately, quote-unquote, trying to teach us lessons, to find us and save us and strengthen us. Sometimes he seeks through friends and family members. And you know what? Often family members will come and say, please pray for my son, please pray for my sister, for my brother, because they are going through a difficult period of time, and we pray together sometimes over the phone. And I make a point of praying for this person. And this person has decided that until, and I know a few people who told me that, I have decided, Pastor, to pray until I die for my son, for my daughter, for my husband. There are many wives who are praying for their husbands desperately. There are husbands who are praying for their wives desperately. And God will honor those prayers. And God honors that desire to touch this other person. And yet, that other person has to respond to God. When we feel guilty, we may be able to hide from other people, but we can never hide from God. He knows where we are and what we are doing. That is one of the most scary thoughts, that God knows exactly where I am. I may convince my wife, I may convince my children, the members, my friends, that I'm not what they think, or I'm not doing what they think I'm doing, or, and yet I can never fool God. God knows me completely. He is the manufacturer. He manufactured me. He knows how I tick. He knows how I think. People sometimes will say, well, are you sure God knows everything that I am thinking? Yes, God knows. Hiding from God is futile and impossible. There is no place to hide from God. Psalm 139, 7, 8, we read it, I believe, this morning. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. Even darkness cannot hide us. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. Again, how can I hide from God? But the good news is, knowing who I am, even though God knows exactly what I'm thinking and what I'm doing, how I'm cheating, how am I gossiping, how I'm gambling, how I'm doing drugs, how I'm drunkard, he loves me. He loves me so much that he is always after me to change my mind, to change, to become a person that will feel happy and good and have the assurance of my salvation, that when I die, I will be in his presence. The problem today is that people don't think of the consequences. That is because the churches don't talk about consequences. Most of the sermons you listen to are about wonderful time as a Christian, God's blessings, God's love, God's wisdom. God blesses even your money. God blesses your family. And all these are true. And yet there is the other side of that coin that says there are consequences of what we do or do not do for God. And because of that, people have come to the point to believe that all I need to do is confess that there is God, and I believe in God. And because I believe in God, I'm saved. God understands I'm human. Because God understands that I'm human, and because God knows I can change with his help, He expects me to invite him to change me. Even darkness cannot hide us. Doctrine cannot hide me. Philosophies cannot hide me. I cannot hide in doctrines and philosophies and what this pastor said or that pastor said or this pastor said. I cannot hide under their blessing or their compromising messages. God, I have to face God, and I will face God. First was some hide from God when he comes searching for them. Second point is some hide from God when he comes inviting them. Jesus said to those who came to him, "You refuse to come to me to have life." Now, why is it that people refuse? Because they don't want their life to be exposed. They don't want God to know exactly what's happening. So, out of mind, out of sight, out of mind. As long as you don't talk about God and you don't go to church and you don't sort of think of spiritual things, you feel safe. It's like taking some poison, or those who are addicted to something that will eventually kill them. When you talk to them, they'll say, "Well, it's okay. I mean, even I may go out to the street and get killed." So, I mean, so that's how it is with many Christians today. Hiding from danger or evil is understandable. But hiding from God, who wants to save us and help us, is very difficult to understand. God's invitation goes out to all, and this is the most popular, the most repeated, the most known verse in the Bible, I believe, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," or "one and only Son, for whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." The Greek word describes it even better. It says, "pas opistevon is afton." That means every one person who believes in him will not be lost, perish, but have eternal life. In Armenian, also is very similar. "For a man over anor havada chigor sevi habavidina gangyankunena." That is a verse that we should always remember. God sent his Son for us. As a matter of fact, God's question to the first sinners was, "Where are you?" In other words, see where you are now. Spiritually, morally, family, your home, job, relationships. For example, the prodigal son. The prodigal son eventually asked the question, "Look, where am I? Look where I am right now. I had everything I needed. I had my father, my mother, I had my brother, I had the fields, I had a beautiful house, there were servants, there was good food, there was everything, and yet I wanted to do it my own way. And I wanted to try, I did it my way," he said. "And look where I'm finding myself." So the question was to himself, "Where are you now? Look at you." And that's what it is, I believe, with many today. They may have, when I came to Canada, I remember I had a dream. My dream was to have a car and to have a home. So I got my car, and then I got my home. And then, of course, I needed a wife and children, so I got them too. We have 2 children, 3 grandchildren, and yet without God's presence, without Christ, all that is emptiness. Sure, it's full. Sure, you enjoy the presence of your wife, your relationship with your husband and the children and the grandchildren. But when you go to bed at night and your conscience is convicting you and saying, "Why? Why are you rejecting me?" God is asking. Then you say to yourself, "I failed." Well, that's what happened to Elvis Presley and so many other great and well-known actors and actresses and singers who had it all, and yet they were empty. As a matter of fact, God's question to the first sinner was, "Where are you?" The same question is for us today. The sinner, the person who is born again or a Christian or not a Christian, is the same. Where are you? I want to help you. I want to strengthen you. I want to give you joy. I want to give you happiness. And I want to save you from eternal hell and bring you to eternal life. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, graciously invited all to come. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest." Someone here may have a burden that he or she may think that no one can understand, no one can forgive, no one can help, that even God has forsaken me, someone may think, and yet that is so untrue, because God came for the sinners, for the lost. The last invitation in the Bible is found in Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift, the water of life. Adam and Eve were hiding among the trees, as if God would not have been able to find them. Often I believe we hide just like them. The trees that people hide behind today may be busy schedules, excuses like they are all hypocrites in the church, and other excuses. Not much has changed since Jesus gave the parable of the great banquet, you remember? In Luke 14:16-24, and I quote, "At the time of the banquet, he sent the servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses and refused to come." The third point I'd like to make is some will want to hide from God at the time of his wrath. Now, not too much you hear about his wrath. The wrath of the Lamb in Revelation 6:16-17. They called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" What a strange picture it is to see the Lamb angry. The Lamb slain on the cross had a mission. His mission was to take away sin of the world. He came to deliver us from wrath. In John 3:36, we read, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." Jesus did not come here to punish. We already were punished. We already are under his wrath. Jesus came to do just the opposite, to save us, to help us come out of that situation. No one can hide from God. High positions offer no hiding place. And regardless of how well known, important, or famous one is, he or she cannot hide from God. Mighty and powerful men and women cannot hide from God. Power does not protect. Riches cannot hide. The poor cannot hide. Religion cannot hide. Nothing can hide from God and give you safety from God's wrath. Actually, if you are hiding from God, your problem is not your sinful past or present spiritual situation and condition, but rather your problem is your relationship to face God and your reluctance to face God and trust Him that He can and will forgive you and give you a new life free of guilt and help you continue life and live your life in a new and exciting way. So the problem is not your guilt. The problem is not your present. Your problem is not your whatever it is. Your problem is that you don't think or you don't believe that God can forgive you and restore you and give you a new life. No, there is no place to hide. The only hiding place is God. Psalm 32:7 says, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." In Colossians 3, verses 2 and 3, we read, "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hiding with Christ in God." Please remember that you cannot hide from Him, but you can hide in Him. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest." You may say, "I don't know where I am, but I know where I should be, and I want to be. And I want to be there now." Well, that will be the best response you could ever give. Will you respond to God's call and come out of hiding if you are hiding from Him? I hope you will. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for being ready to forgive us and restore us. Thank You, Lord, for being ready to strengthen us and guide us. Thank You, Lord, for being always there for us to come to and share our burdens and trials with You. And thank You, Lord, for answering our prayers. Lord, be with us this morning and strengthen us. May the Holy Spirit help us see where each one of us is. If there's someone that has problems dealing with a situation that he or she finds herself or himself, please help this person. Help this person know that the only choice there is to either reject You and go his or her way, or allow You to come in his or her life and change it and restore it and mend it. In Your blessed name I pray, amen.